Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
I am so excited to hear what Nick Boy has to say. He is the founder, CEO, and chief evangelist of Silverdale Technology, the Odoo Consulting Company, which provides access to world-class processes, systems, and change management methods, regardless of a company's size or budget. So welcome, Nick. Can you please explain what Odoo is to start?
Absolutely. So Odoo will describe itself, and we in the industry will describe as an ERP. And then most people then ask, what the hell is an ERP, right? So ERP is Enterprise Resource Planning. ERP term is something that the industries kind of came up with, and we are the only people that calls it that, right? Let's be clear. Most people would refer to it as the system, okay? The computer system that they use to get things done, right? And in a lot of different companies and organizations, that's never just one system. It's a myriad of different systems. Now, Odoo is an ERP system that really pulls all that together all into one place. So you can conceivably run everything in your business from one single platform, whether it's e-commerce, payments, accounting, inventory, manufacturing, CRM, your website, you name it. Odoo has an app for it. And it's a very diverse and very lively ecosystem that thousands of companies across the US and the world actually use.
That's great.
I've heard the expression, jack of all trades, master of none. So when you have these ERP systems that do a lot of different things, how does that compare to like just buying a single system, like an inventory management system or a contacts management system? Is there some sacrifice in the functionality by putting all this stuff together in one package?
I would say not necessarily. I think if you were to do a side-by-side comparison, let's just say between, say, a Salesforce and Odoo CRM, for example, right? If you had a side-by-side comparison of the features, then Salesforce is going to have way more features than Odoo CRM, without a doubt, okay? Same if you were to look at Odoo Inventory versus a Red Hat, for example, or if you were to look at HubSpot versus Odoo Email Marketing or Marketing Automation, right? So when you look at these kind of, you know, single-threaded systems, right, like those, and you compare it feature by feature, they're always going to have more features. But what I think people are underestimating is the power of having everything all in one place. And when you have lots of these different supposedly best-in-breed systems, what you actually spend most of your time doing is trying to keep all your data in sync between them. You're exporting CSV file, you're importing things, you're trying to figure out why you've got 1,001 contacts here and 998 here and they don't match up. You just spend your time wrangling your data in between systems as opposed to using the data to your advantage and making better decisions, right? And so don't underestimate the power of having everything all in one place at your fingertips. I tell you, you know, when I get on a call with a client, the first thing I look at is their contact page in Odoo. Why? Because it tells me how many help tickets they have open, how many sales orders they're currently working on, how many opportunities we're working on right now, how many invoices they have outstanding, right? It tells me how many projects we're working on, how many tasks, right? What we're waiting on, right? It tells me what they've looked at recently on our website. Like, all of that all in one place. Other companies would have to go into 5-6 different systems to do that. And I can do that instantly.
And I think what Richard really likes the most about an ERP is you can get reports. So you can ask for a specific report and all the data is in the same place. So we can give you from soup to nuts, like this person contacted the firm on this date, went into our CRM and became a client on this date and paid us this much money in 2025.
Yeah, that client journey and that visibility. 20 years ago, I heard it for the first time, was this kind of panacea of a kind of single view of the customer, right, that everyone was talking about back in the day. And I would say that most companies today do not have a single view of the customer, right? You know the companies that do, and you know the ones that don't. And it's very easy to tell when you hear people, when you call them up and say, oh, I have to log into my other system for that. Or, you know, my system's running a little bit slow. Or you just know what they're doing. They're logging into five different places to try and answer a question, right? And they can't pivot very quickly. So you know the companies that have got this right and the ones that have got it wrong.
I think that's really important. At Gearhart Law, we use Odoo. Coincidentally, we've had the system for a long time. If somebody is just starting a business, are they ready for ERP? Is that something that they should be looking at early on in their business plan?
Absolutely. Anybody asks me, am I ready for an ERP? The answer is always, well, you should have done it yesterday. Okay. It's always too late and it's never too early is what I tell people. The reality is when you look at the cost, okay, of getting into an ERP these days, it used to be at least tens of thousands of dollars and it used to be months and months of effort. You know, the reality is now you can go to odoo.com, you can sign up for an account, you can be live within minutes and you're going to be paying 50, 60 bucks a month or something. So the reality is, you know, if you're just a solo entrepreneur, and this is something we talked about earlier about, you know, it's never too early to think about scale. So as soon as you start using an ERP in that way and you start adding in modules, you start putting all your data in there, you'll start seeing how quickly it stacks up and you'll start making better decisions. And honestly, the goal for most companies is certainly when we work with our clients, my goal is to get you to stop talking about your ERP, quite frankly, right? What I really want you talking about is how you're going to grow and develop your business and how the system is going to be a strategic tool to allow you to do that, not an impediment, which is what most people treat the systems as today.
I just want to relate a story from Gearhart Law. We had an earlier version of the ERP version 10, and it was the public version. And then we migrated to version 16. I won't even go into what a challenge that was. It was very expensive and it took a lot of time to do it. The provider who had installed the version 10, he didn't even tell us about these other versions. But once we got everything set up and installed, we were able to find out things that we didn't know. So some of our clients turned out not to be making our firm any money. We were able to actually look at different projects, different clients, and make adjustments to how we do business in order to make everything kind of work out from a financial perspective. And without the ERP, that would have been very time consuming and very, very tedious. And so while there's a cost associated with investing in this kind of software, it's really important to know that if you get it right, it can also really help your bottom line in lots of different ways. And we're spending a lot of time doing that.
We've spoken to so many people on this show who are business experts who have said you cannot run a business without knowing what your data is. And that's really the strength of the ERP. I want to go to Terry and Gina.
My question was, is it okay for a small business, a very small business or a startup or solopreneur? And it sounds like it's wonderful having a dashboard like that to be able to evaluate the data. One of the pieces of data that we're getting that we could do a better job of evaluating, and I'm wondering, does something like this come into a dashboard or can it, is when we host very frequent Zoom meetings and we have a lot of different guests in there and community members and such, and we survey people immediately upon leaving. So we have these survey results. And then either someone has to go in each time and download it, and upload it, and evaluate it, which kind of gets left out of the picture sometimes. Does your service do something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as they say, we have an app for that, right? So Odoo does actually have a built-in survey app where you can do, you know, after-event surveys. You can also do real-time surveys, which are also really powerful. So even during a Zoom, for example, you can give out a link during the webinar. And you can actually gather real-time feedback. That's taking survey to another level, right? We can actually see, you know, we do that with some of our user training, for example. We'll actually post a live survey and clients can tell us in real time, is it going well? Is it not going well? Are we going too fast or too slow? There's no point finding out afterwards that you are going too fast. What can you do about that? Nothing. So those real-time surveys as well during webinars are pretty powerful, and that's something to think about. So it's not just post-event. You know, you've got to be thinking about using the tool during the event as well.
Terry?
Yes, I would say, first of all, we've seen a lot of good coming from ERPs, and you know better than I do through the years, really good things. What are you seeing right now that AI is helping with ERP, and what would you like to see coming in the future? If I could give you, you know, your wish list here, you can make one wish, that kind of thing. What would it be that you would have AI do for that? And I'm curious about the tools that you're using right now for that.
I've been listening intently to the whole conversation about AI and itching to get involved in it. We took a decision about a year and a half ago, in fact, to cap the number of employees that we have at Silverdale. That was a decision we made. And the reason we made that decision was to force us to grow the company and scale the company without making it a linear growth with employee headcount, right? Now, in our industry, that's almost unheard of, okay?
Yeah.
More projects, more clients, more people, okay? And we decided to break that, and we capped the company to 50 employees, which is what we have today. And actually, now we talk about our 51st employee. Our 51st employee is called Dale. Dale is our AI, and Dale is trained on over 250,000 tasks that we've completed over the last 5 years, over 20,000 help tickets, and over 30,000 pieces of content, FAQs, best practice user guides. Dale has access to all of that data and information. So now we use that data to help support our clients. We use it to help develop. We use it for coding. We use it for testing. We use it for sales. We use it right across our business. In fact, Dale is the colleague sitting right next to you, okay? For every single person in our company, everyone has access to Dale. He's the best memory that we have, and also the best person to help you brainstorm. And as it turns out, after 5 years with all that data that we have, is actually the best memory and long-term memory of our company.
Do you use Dale to answer client inquiries, or is it just an internal resource?
Dale is external and internally focused. So all the tools that we develop internally is obviously where we started, but those tools are also now pointed externally. We've actually just rolled out a couple of weeks ago, in fact, we just rolled out our first version to clients. So Dale is now our first line support. Is now through Dale, and Dale will search through all of our help tickets and find similar questions and the answers that were provided, and we'll try and help the client where possible, right? And we're starting to see some pretty good results from that. So the goal with using Dale in our company isn't about replacing people, because, you know, it's a tool that allows our people to do more, okay, and to be more effective and to deliver more. We start looking at some of our ratios. So, for example, revenue per employee. Since we started using Dale, our revenue per employee has increased pretty dramatically, right? Again, because we're generating more revenue, but more importantly, using the data that we as a company have and have always had. We just didn't have a great way of serving up that information and reusing it.
So is there any human review of the answers that are going out to clients?
Yes, there is. So Dale will always do that first line support. Every help ticket that comes into us as well, which is our main method of support, every single one of them also goes against Dale. So Dale will take that question, he'll go pull an answer, and actually a human will then go look at the answer it was provided. We'll adjust that, we'll add more detail, whatever we need to do to make it correct. And then that learning goes back into Dale as well, right? So he's consistently and constantly learning. And we have dedicated resources now who are there helping to train Dale. And it's one of those things that we're talking earlier about, you know, how do you get people to kind of adopt and not be scared of these types of tools? I'll tell you, one of the great things that we did was actually give it a name. So when you start to give it a name, it becomes a little bit more personal, a little bit more human-like. And you'll find during the discussions, right, you'll actually say, hey, did you ask Dale? And in fact, that became the project name. Ask Dale was actually the project name that we've been running for the last 18 months.
So we've had a little bit of pushback from the attorneys at the law firm. So a few years ago, I wanted to introduce this AI company to do the marketing because I'm in charge of the marketing. Thought, well, let's bring it in that way. There was so much resistance.
Yep.
And I got eviscerated in this meeting, but Richard had my back. So, and then we just had a management team meeting yesterday. Where we're trying to say, like, what are the pinch points and how can we solve these? And it just doesn't seem like the attorneys really want to use the AI like Richard and I do. Like, we're like, oh, we could do this, that, the other thing. There's a barrier there.
Well, I think there's a lot of trust issues because sometimes you do get the wrong answers. And we use AI for legal research, for example. So usually the answers are okay, but you also have to ask the right question. But even still, when you do that sometimes. So there's still some trust issues there for some people.
But the companies that aren't using it are going to be way behind.
If you're not using it today in your business in some way, shape, or form, you're going to be falling behind. There's no doubt about it. And if you think your competitors aren't using it, then you know you're crazy, okay? And you need to get on board with this. But you're right about the data, and you're right about the hallucinations, right? The official term for kind of the errors, they call them hallucinations, is very much. I find as I get older, I've got a lot more of those as well, quite frankly. The hallucinations really come, and you look at it, it's actually normally either bad context or bad instructions, or it doesn't have access to sufficient data. If you're in a very specialized area, for example, you know, IP law, for example, right? You're going to be thinking about, well, what data is it using to call upon? You know, at the end of the day, all of these large language models really are just a text predictor, okay? It's just trying to figure out what's the next most likely word. That's really what it's doing in the background, right? At the end of the day, that's where it is. So it really depends on the depth of information, on the amount you're going to get back that's going to be decent. So that's one of the reasons why we decided to create our own LLM, right? So a large language model, right? If you just use chatgpt.com, you're using whatever data they've got, okay? You're using their LLM, you're using their data, okay? What they've collected, and it's either good or as bad as what they've collected. In our case, because we're, you know, specialists, we do what we do, and we've been doing it for 5 years, we've got all this data, we actually created our own LLM to supplement ChatGPT, and we ask Dale to prioritize answers from our LLM first. Okay. And so there's ways and means of doing this, but you've got to be, you know, you've got to know what you're doing, right? You can't just, you know, sign up to chatgpt.com and use it like Google. You're going to make a hash of it.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we're out of time for this discussion, but Nick, where can people find you?
You can find us at silverdale.us. You can also find us on all the socials at Silverdale Tech.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.